as a present.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. Once again, on a beautiful day here in Brevard County, we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need anybody to help you with block or concrete work, give them a call. Temperatures will be heating up, and you're going to want to know somebody who can do the job and can factor in the heat and the humidity and the dry times and the afternoon rain times and all. Listen, I was part of a church one time, right before I came down, they were getting ready to build this community center. And the night before the foundation was to be poured, a massive rainstorm came in, washed away a whole bunch of dirt, and it ended up being a lot more expensive because of how much soil was washed away. You want to know professionals who know how to schedule it, who know when the rains are coming, so that you don't incur any added expense. So if Jits Concrete can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 321-536-5804. And as I have been mentioning, we want to remind you about our 65th anniversary service that is coming up Saturday night, June the 10th, 6:30 p.m. We scheduled this service for this night for those people who are in the county who go to different churches, and you want a refreshing touch from God. You want to experience the revival fire of God, but you might not be able to attend the service on Sunday morning because you are already committed to your church. That's absolutely wonderful. This is a community event that is taking place Saturday night, 6:30. We would love for you to come out and join us and have God ignite a passion in you to reach the lost of Brevard County. And I pray that you would come out and be a part of this. Jerry Hill got a wonderful, wonderful spirit about her, and she will be ministering the word of God, and we are going to be having a great time Saturday night, June the 10th at 6:30, Sunday morning at our 10:30 worship service. We invite you to come and be a part of that. So they have traveled all over the globe. They have been in missionaries in Argentina, Costa Rica, Spain, and Russia, as well as pastoring a church here in the States and being used in revival in Pensacola, Florida. So come make that a part of your June events, and we will look forward to seeing you then. So with that being said, we are going to get into Isaiah chapter 62 today. Isaiah chapter 62, and it says, and I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter today because we're going to touch on the last part of this chapter. Today should be the last broadcast in the 62nd chapter. And then tomorrow I want to comment on an article that I read, I believe it was last week. So I want to touch on that. Isaiah chapter 62, verse number 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the strength, or by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine, for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Verse number 10. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So we're going to look at this verses 10, 11, and 12 today. It says, go through the gates. Someone has once said, you cannot take someone where you have not been, where you are going. And so it is very important for us not to be obstacles to people that God is looking to bless. Okay? Now, lest anybody misconstrue that statement, I want you to know that the truth is not an obstacle. The Word of God is not an obstacle. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that we are not like the people that Jesus spoke about in the New Testament, where he said, you refuse to go in and you hinder those who would go in. So there are people who refuse to move forward in their faith. There are people who refuse to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are people who refuse to go forward in obedience the way that God would have us to go into that. And as a result, we end up becoming a stumbling block to those who were behind us. I was talking with a person here recently. He's a man in our church. He has a plane. He was talking to me about an air show that had happened some years ago. We were discussing an air crash that had happened. I believe it was at an air show. And every time I see something like that, I check to make sure that it wasn't him. And he was describing how this group of planes was flying in a very tight formation, one right behind the other one, and the plane in front had an engine malfunction where it sputtered just a little bit, which caused his momentum to be lost, and the plane behind him didn't have time to adjust, and they crashed as a result of that. And I think that's just a horrible, horrible thing to have happen. That's just, it's just mind-numbing to think that could happen. But spiritually, it happens all of the time, where there are people and they're on their journey of faith, and then all of a sudden, they reach a stage and they say, you know, this next step that Jesus is asking of me is just too difficult, and they refuse to go through. There are people who refuse to enter into his presence. The scripture says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and enter into his courts with praise. And so I want to encourage you today, don't be that person that is a stumbling block to those behind you or those who are looking up to you. Instead, go through. Go through. The Psalm 23, though he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There are too many places in life where people have chose to reside where God was only intending for them to pass through. And so you want to make sure that you have that personal relationship. Jesus is the door. There is no one that comes to the Father but by him. I know that it is a very politically correct thing to say, and that is that it doesn't matter who you worship, just as long as you worship sincerely, and no matter what you worship or how you worship, all roads are going to lead to God. But the truth of the matter, that just is not what the Word of God says. The Scripture says that everyone must repent of their sins, that unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he's the door, that if you are trying to gain entrance any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And so go through the gates. If you are the head of your household, go through the gates of faith. If you are in charge of a business, go through the gates of faith. Wherever your authority lies, make sure that you go through that gate. Go through the gate of financial obedience to the Word of God. Make sure that you are a tither and a giver. Go through the gates and you will find that there is an entirely new revelation, a new blessing that is awaiting you on the other side of the gate. The second part of that phrase that we're looking at is prepare the way for the people. Prepare the way for the people. Several years ago, 1999 to be exact, God gave me a word. It was out of the book of Proverbs, and it was a word that was encouraging us to prepare the building for the people. And that was a follow-up word to when I first came to Merit Assembly of God. I was praying. I said, God, what is the strategy that you want us to operate with at Merit Assembly of God? And he said, prepare the building for the people. And that was, you know, I don't know how God speaks to you. God does not speak to me and tell me the things that I want to hear. Sometimes he speaks to me things that are exactly the opposite of what I want to hear. And that was not what I wanted to hear at that point in time, but it was what needed to be done. There were literally people who attended our church who at that point in time that said, I don't want to invite people to that church. It's too ugly. And so hopefully if you visit our church now, you will not find it to be ugly. You know, our facilities have all been upgraded, and you know, there you might still find a few things that need to be done from time to time, but we pay for things as we go. We don't like to incur a lot of debt. Because I could either fund an insurance company or I can fund missions, and I would much rather fund missions. Prepare the way for the people. Here's a newsflash for you. All the pastors in Brevard County are going to appreciate me saying this. Things do not just magically happen at church. The toilets do not just accidentally or magically get cleaned. The trash does not magically make its way to the dumpster. The yard is not just poof and it is mowed and well kept. It takes preparation in order for things to be presentable for folks when they come to church on Sunday morning. And so I encourage you to take a step up, ask your pastor or your ministry leader at church and say, what could I do that would prepare this church to be able to reach more people so that when people come, they're glad to be here, not ashamed to be here. What could I do to make preparation? And you will find that the more people who step up to prepare the facilities and prepare the lessons and prepare the worship and all of that, that's going to give the pastor more time to prepare himself in prayer, prepare the word, and prepare people for ministry. And so I encourage you, be involved in the preparation process. It goes on to say, build up the highway. I don't know of anybody that wishes that a road trip took longer or that you ran into more construction zones. A highway was a, now in our society, it's an interstate highway. There's, it's generated for more traffic flow. This was a highway. It was prepared to hopefully be safer. But the premise was still the same, from get people from one point to another point in as quick and as safe a manner as they could. Now, when I'm teaching on the highway of holiness and things like that, I do like to bring in the mindset of the interstate highway system, and that is that it is a limited access highway. The reason that you are able to go at the speeds that you are able to go to is because not every body or not every quarter of a mile is there an access point. And so build up the highway. And it goes on, it says, take out the stones. The stones were obstacles. You know, if you were riding a horse or if you were riding in a carriage or a chariot of some sort, those stones would be very hard to navigate that road. I don't know about you, but there are some roads that I don't like to travel, especially if they're really bumpy or under construction. My daughter travels a road to work where it was very, very uneven here for a number of weeks. And as a result of that, she only had 2 flat tires during that time, because of the construction. And so we need to take out the obstacles, and we need to make it possible for people to travel on. Now, I want to tell you this. I don't want to make it necessarily easier for the people. Discipleship is not about convenience. It's about the cross, where Jesus told his disciples that they were to take up their cross daily and follow him. So it is not about convenience, it is so that they can travel it without being destroyed in the process. Lift up a banner for the peoples. One of the things that you realize is if you are traveling to an area where you've never been before, it really helps if you have signs. And so whenever we are hearing from either magazine writers or blog writers or newsletter writers and pastors and coaches, they say, when whatever you do, have signs at church that will help people find the restrooms, that will help people find the nursery and help people find, you know, the exits and the parking lot and all of that sort of stuff. And I will tell you this, that the best banner that we can lift up is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. If we will lift up Jesus so that people will see him when they come to our churches, when they visit our services, they will say, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I need. And so I want to encourage you. There's a few things there. There's 5 things. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, and lift up a banner for the peoples. And so people need to know where they are going. If you don't know what your next step in faith is, I encourage you to ask somebody at church that is in leadership there, what is next? If you have accepted faith in Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized. That's the next step. You should be baptized. It's a testimony to the world that you are identifying with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so if Jesus insisted that John the Baptist baptize him, even though Jesus was not a sinner, he was perfect in everything he had ever done. He never sinned. And he said, I need you to partner with me in this to fulfill all righteousness. And so when we baptize people, I encourage them to invite people. We tell them, okay, we're going to schedule this out a number of days, not because we want them to wait and think about it. We want them to invite their family and friends. And so we do baptisms in our baptistry. My most recent baptism was in a person's swimming pool, where a man from our church and encountered another believer, and the guy said, you know, I've never been baptized. And they were out fishing at the time, and he picked up the phone and he called me and he said, hey, I've got a friend here who wants to be baptized. Can we do that? And I said, absolutely. My favorite place to do baptisms is the beach, because I like for that to be a public testimony, not a private ritual. Let's go on. Verse number 11, indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people. I want to tell you this day, surely your salvation is coming. If you have already put your faith in Jesus, you are saved. Today you are being saved, and your ultimate salvation is on its way. It is a historical event. It is a current process, and it is going to have an ultimate manifestation. And so your salvation should be a joyous thing in your life. The king said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And so as you are experiencing the goodness of God, you should be expecting that there is joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. So he says, say to the daughter of Zion, surely salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him. I want to tell you today that too many times we are seeking God for what he can do for us, where we should just flat out be seeking him. The reality is that when Jesus shows up on the scene, when God manifests, his entire entourage is coming with him. All of his blessings. He will come as Savior. He will come as healer. He will come as comforter. He will come as wisdom. He will come as provider. Everything that you need. He is going to be the one who orders steps and directs paths. He's going to be the one that orchestrates relationships. When he comes, his reward is with him. God told Abram, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your exceeding great reward. And so the more you and I grow in our faith, the more we will come to realize that if God never does one more thing on our behalf, that the reality of him living in our hearts is more than enough. See, I understand the people coming and then they begin experiencing the trials and the troubles and the tribulations of life, and sometimes that can rock you. But let me tell you, if you have walked with God for a season, for a long season, for decades or for years, that you should have grown to the point that you said, you know what, everything else besides being forgiven of my sins is icing on the cake. The real substance of the matter is I am forgiven of my sins. Jesus is the Lord of my life. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I'm going to spend an eternity with Jesus and the redeemed of the Lord. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So he says, his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people. You know, wouldn't it be great if the church was called the people of holiness once again? Wouldn't it be great if that's what our distinguishing characteristic was? It was our mark of distinction, that it was holiness, not because of our hairstyle or our clothing style or anything like that, but just because we operated with the same heart that God did. I pray today that we would be called the holy people of God, the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is our testimony. We tend to make sharing the gospel with people so challenging that some people will say, well, I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough that I can lead somebody to Jesus. I want to ask you, have you been redeemed by God? Has he paid for your sins? Have you said yes to him being the Lord of your life and experienced the joy of him being in control or not? If you have, then I encourage you, say so. Say so at church. Say so to your family. Say so to those that you come in contact with. And then live out the things that you declare. He said, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Remember, back up in verse number 4, it says, you shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. God says, I'm going to give you a new name, and instead of being forsaken, instead of being desolate, you are going to have the title of those who have been sought out. You see, we talk a lot about Jesus as Savior, but I want to remind you today that he is also Jesus the Seeker. He is Jesus the Shepherd who would leave the 99 who are safely in the pen to go and find the one that has been left behind. Today, if you're listening to this broadcast, I want you to know that you are the sought out. God's looking for you. He is the seeker of the lost. He's looking to bring salvation and joy. Today, I've got good news for you. You've got a secret admirer, and his name is Jesus. The devil doesn't want you to know about him, but Jesus is looking for you. He is looking for you because he wants to redeem you. He wants to come and bring his reward with him and salvation to be the reality of your life. You are going to have a great day today because Jesus is looking out for you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless everyone listening today and give them a great day. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.